Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm joined by Chris Pajak for this one. We've all seen over the weekend, presumably by now, that Liverpool have opted to take up the government option of furloughing staff, which means that 80% of their wages will be paid by the government from taxes, etc., etc., and Liverpool will be topping up the further 20% themselves. I think first and foremost, Chris, we'll get to our thoughts. We'll talk through some of the facts as we know them and what have you. But I don't think there's any escape. And just judging from the reactions for online, from journalists, from ex-players, etc., etc., this has been an absolute, once again, I should say, really, another PR disaster from the club.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You just have to tune into Twitter for about five tweets and you'll probably find four of them about how bad it is that Liverpool have done this. I think, you know, social media, rightly or wrongly, is a very, very reactive place. Mm-hmm. Now, the statement that Liverpool made was a little bit... It kind of shrouded what had happened, I suppose, because did you read the statement itself?
Yeah, they talk around the other good stuff they're doing.
Well, it didn't actually mention whether they were using the government scheme or not. They just said they're committed to making sure that the non-playing staff are all going to be getting 100% of their wages. So for me, I was a bit like, well, are they furloughing or are they paying them? And that statement didn't really make it clear, but the journalists seem to have uncovered the fact that there is going to furlough for 80%, up to £2,500 a month, and then they're going to top that up with 20% so that they are, in fact, getting 100% of their wages. So that was a little bit strange. So I was kind of kept my powder dry a little bit because I didn't really know when I saw the statement exactly what it was, because I don't think it was... The club didn't tell us, which is a little bit of a... precursor to probably their thinking on the positioning of it. Mm-hmm. Because I think if they were happy with it and they think they genuinely made the greatest decision that they could, they'd have probably just said it as is or spelled it out. You know, it's a little bit of spin maybe on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very interesting situation from the club. I agree. My initial reaction was that I saw that Liverpool were going to be paying their staff 100%, they're getting 100% of their wages throughout that period. And my initial reaction was good, without having delved into the full bits and pieces around it, because there's so many businesses laying people off, and there's so many people asking people to take pay cuts, and there's so many who are taking the furlough option but leaving people on just the 80% provided by the government effectively. So that my initial thing was like, okay, well that's a good solid thing, and I think there's probably a degree to which There will have been thoughts within the club who've probably, and this is, I think they always do this, I think they've looked at it from within their bubble and gone, as a business, this is a way to make sure that all of our staff remain paid and also keep the thing going. When you delve into it a bit deeper, it's a bit dodgy. We'll come to that in a moment, though. I just want to go through some of the kind of the facts around this. Liverpool are the fifth club now in the Premier League to take advantage of this scheme. Spurs, Norwich, Bournemouth and Newcastle, who were the first to do this. Liverpool made a pre-tax profit announced in February of £42 million. Everton have apparently also said that they won't be using the furloughing scheme. And just as a side note, other furloughed big businesses include the likes of McDonald's, Greene King, Primark, Costa Coffee, etc. The problem with this, Chris, is the big problem as I see it, and I think we're seeing it already in comments and people's general reaction, is weighing up Liverpool, the business, versus Liverpool with this socialist identity.
Yeah, let's address the what I think is the most important thing first and foremost, Paul. And it's impossible to be a socialist identity, a socialist football club, because you were living in a capitalist world. And I think socialism can only work if everything is socialist. A socialist entity within a capitalist industry doesn't work. But that's not to say that you can't strive to be as close socialist as possible. And I think Liverpool, for me, the part that I'm hurting over, Paul, more than anything, is, and it's well documented by a lot of journalists, is the use of This Means More and the use of Bill Shankly at every single turn, and the fact that they're willing to do this to gain bigger profits, to get more people excited about the football club, to get more people to love the football club, and then go against that when the shit hits the fan. And that's the thing that really, and I'll be honest, Paul, you know, a lot of people won't agree with me on this, and that's fine, this is my opinion only. That's what hurts me the most. But I'm so totally torn at the moment between how I'm, my gut reaction, which is that, and when I look at the facts of, they're actually a business. They're making sure that the staff have got 100% of their wages. They pay their taxes as a club and they're entitled to use the government scheme. And there's so many more things that make me think. I kind of just don't know where to turn at the moment. And I seem to be the only one. I seem to be the only one that's unsure of how I should be feeling or how I am feeling. And that in itself is quite weird.
Yeah, I think some of the issue around this, and I'm not saying this is exclusively true across the board, because I think we all need to be careful about absolutism in all this. And I think that's why social media is not a great place for debate around these things. But it's the business side of things that is the sticking point. Because you're right, is that if Liverpool was not a football club and it wasn't something that people loved, I don't think there'd be as much issue around this. But because we do, there obviously is. And I'll play devil's advocate on this, because again, I'm with you. I believe in general socialist values, but also I am a business owner. So I also think of it from that perspective, and I think about what would go, you know, your business going to the wire. And if I was to take all of my emotion away from it and look at what Liverpool is, and you look at the staff that are being furloughed, and I look at the companies that have opted to take these options. So like McDonald's, that's your Green King pub company as an example, Primark and Costa. Well, Liverpool are all of those things. So you've got all the people who work in like the cop bar, and you've got all the people who work in the restaurant that's in the cop, and you've got all the people in Primark, you've got all the people who work in the club stores, and then you've got the people who work in the cafes inside the club stores and all that kind of stuff. So in that regard, Liverpool have got all of the things, all of the elements, and to be fair, none of those are massive multinational corporations in and of themselves. The problem that comes attached to it is that I think people look at Liverpool, the entire entity, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, by the way, because I think, you know, if the whole business makes a £42 million profit, then those little parts of it are contributing to it as much as the TV rights. Maybe not in terms of, you know, in terms of a graph or whatever, but it all adds up into the same pot. So I think from Liverpool's perspective, I wonder if they've looked at that and gone, well, yeah, because I think inside the club that they view the individual things as individual business strands. I think from outside the club, we look at Liverpool as a whole thing. And when you look at it as a whole thing, it is an abhorrent move from the club to basically take taxpayers' money when the club has some money in reserve and it has a mega rich owner who could possibly be doing more to fund this out of his own pocket or their pockets. That's where I think the real turning point turning point, I should say, inside this is coming from.
I don't know about John W. Henry and the owners and all that and how it affects communities in Liverpool, because ultimately, yes, he takes it seriously that he's a custodian of this football club, but equally he's an American who, if he's got money, he should be putting it back into his community as well, shouldn't he? So I'm not sure where I sit with John W. and all that, but what I will say is I think, you know, generally speaking, they've ran the club really, really well. I can't see them reversing this decision. It's not like the ticket prices thing. You know, the ticket prices affected us and we moaned about it, I ain't seen anybody moaning about it who's getting 100% of the pay and not doing any work. And that's a big difference between what is happening now and what happened when the ticket price thing came out.
I think, yeah, I mean, again, that's an interesting perspective that neither of us can offer, of course, is that if you've gone into this period, you've been told that your job's basically not there. And if someone was to tell you and turn around, well, you're fine, you're sat at home in isolation and you know you can't work, so you might be match day staff or whatever, you're working in the club store at Anfield, and then Liverpool have just told you you're going to get your 100% wage off this. I don't think I personally would care so much about that, because my first priority was making sure I had food on my table and I could afford for my family to live through this. But yeah, again, I think the problem is that we have to hold Liverpool to higher standards. And I think we've done a very good job of this as fans over the years. The issue, I think some of this, and again, not everyone who thinks this way has come about it this way, but I think there's a lot of people, there was such negative PR around Daniel Levy talking about this in the week. The fact that Newcastle were the first club to do it and everyone hates Mike Ashley. I think some obvious bad guys stepped up and got involved with this. You had the Weatherspoons fella who's obviously a massive knobhead by all accounts.
Is it Martin or something like that?
Yeah, you know, but these people we've held up and they're being held up as pillars. These are bad guys, these are evil things. And then for Liverpool to come out and do it, having spent weeks slaughtering businesses for doing it, the obvious reaction is to go, well, we should continue to slaughter Liverpool for it. And that might be the right thing to do, Chris. That might be it. You know, Liverpool might be taking completely the wrong decision here, because ultimately, you know, as fans, we're very proud of our football club, we're very proud of the heritage, we're very proud of the things that make Liverpool, the things that make Liverpool different to Newcastle, with the greatest respect to Newcastle and their fans. You know, well, Mike Ashley's Newcastle, is that they have listened to the fans, is they have done things better to better the local community. They have had a little bit, been more than a business. They've maybe taken a hit in certain areas to further that kind of profile of the club, and this doesn't fit with what that Liverpool is, and I think people fear it's a very slippery slope to us becoming just another business, just another numbers exercise.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I think when you strip it back, it's why, you know, McDonald's made, I think I've seen the figures, £380 million in profits in 2018. Liverpool made 42. They furloughed 1,500 staff. Liverpool have furloughed a couple of hundred or whatever, and nobody's really talking about the McDonald's stuff. Now, I get that. But also, there's a point to me that says, like, if I just want a different burger, I'll go to a different burger. I'll just go to Burger King, or I'll go to fucking Five Guys, or I'll do this. I don't have a love for McDonald's in the same way that I have a love for Liverpool, and will never, ever change. And that's the thing, is I hold Liverpool to a higher standard than every other business in this country, every other business in this world. And I want them to stand for what I believe they should stand for. And that's the difficult thing, really, for me, is that, you know, on one hand, I know that they're a business. I know that they've got to look after them. They can't furlough the playing staff, for example. So that's an impossible thing. You know, their contracts are so technically tied up, and you know, it was written between the PFA, it was written between the clubs, and it's written between agents and stuff as well. There is no force majeure in their contracts. They have to keep paying them for 5 years or however long's on that contract, and it doesn't matter what happens, and nobody saw this coming. So I'm looking at it going, yes, all this is mad. Yes, as a business owner, you need to look after the priorities and make sure that the business is going to continue to be there when all this shit's over. But also, I'm like, but you're Liverpool Football Club, and you're supposed to represent me and the people that I know, and you're not doing that with this.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem, isn't it? Exceptional circumstances in a mad world. And I've seen some of the stuff, and I think this is the problem. Because the pre-tax profit thing, I think, is kind of by the by, really. You know, I think...
It was 2018 for a start.
Well, for a start, yeah, absolutely. And you'd expect that... I mean, I know wages will have increased in that time. You'd possibly expect that to be bigger for the next season, just because of the Champions League runs and broadcasting deals and what have you, and a lack of outlay on transfers. But for a start, it's a pre-tax profit, which means it's obviously not. It's a bit of a false figure in terms of all that. The thing is that in terms of Liverpool's outgoings, the wage costs for those staff is so minute. By comparison to, you know, you could literally, it's pretty much boot a footballer out the door, you know, and probably cover all this, you know, and that's the issue. And I wonder whether, because you've seen a little bit of this from Tottenham Hotspur, whether some of this is a bit of posturing towards the players. Now, because obviously that's a whole another situation. This is the complexity of the situation, is the players will argue that their pay, the amount, the wages they're on and the tax bracket they're in means that they are contributing towards this country more than most of us will ever do in a lifetime.
Yeah.
But in terms of the running of their individual businesses, they're on so much money that if they were to take a pay cut, that would cover all of this stuff. This is where you're getting it. It's mad because I'm seeing people, and I don't know truly where I stand on this, because I'm seeing people going, we've had a week of Matt Hancock coming out and basically blaming Premier League footballers for not stepping up and supporting the country enough, which is stupid. I think that's absolutely stupid. But at the same time, from an individual basis of a football club, if the players took a cut, they would be helped, and they're all one team under one club umbrella, that would help the football club. This is a problem that could have been solved internally as well. Yeah. I've seen Eddie Howe's taken a pay cut at Bournemouth. A couple of their, you know, the coaching staff in certain football clubs have done this already. This feels like there's a bit more to come from this, and I don't know whether Liverpool will back down from this unless
Paul, can I ask you a question, and we're not going to know the answer, I don't think, so maybe it's unfair of me to ask you this question, but I'll ask the viewers as well to consider this.
I'm a leg man, Chris. Carry on.
Which leg?
Whichever's closest.
So I think when you consider the amount of money that Liverpool's players pay in tax, mm-hmm. what would be better, do you think, for the government? If they took a 30% reduction in wages, they're then paying probably quite a bit less tax, or paying up to £2,500 for the non-playing staff, which actually Liverpool are probably paying with the tax, and the players are probably helping to fund that with the tax that they pay. You know what I mean? So, like, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, because you're right. Because
they'll pay like 50% of their wages probably as tax.
Well, it was actually a great point raised by Paul Tompkins. Actually, Paul's written a fantastic article on the Tompkins Times, which I highly recommend people go over and read, just to get a much more literate other side of this than we would ever be able to put forward, despite our blue coat education, Chris. Too many years of drink, that's the problem. Is that Liverpool are employing people who bring in massive amounts of taxes to the country. Is an interesting way to look at it. So Liverpool's decision to pay, you know, Mohamed Salah £200,000 a week, and the tax that he therefore pays in this country, it is all a knock-on effect. And I think what it swings back around to, because you're right, because there's a graph in terms of, if Liverpool take a pay cut, how much is a tax decrease, and then how much is that impacting the money that Liverpool are claiming back? You know, this is where you need to be an accountant to work all this stuff out. But equally, Liverpool, these are the rules set out by the government. Is it Liverpool?
Right,
Are Liverpool wrong to do this? I don't know.
They're not wrong to do it. You can not like it, and that's absolutely fine. And I don't like it. And there was a really great quote in Melissa Reddy's article on the subject. I don't know if you've seen that this morning. So she read a tweet actually at the top of the article. She wrote someone's tweet out, and I'll read a little bit of this now. In aiming to frame why Liverpool's decision to turn the government's coronavirus job retention scheme rankled so much, a supporter provided the perfect analogy on Twitter. It's like going to the food bank when you can still comfortably afford to go to the supermarket and buy meals.
Yeah.
And that's why it rankles. That's why it annoys you. I don't give a damn about McDonald's and all of that. I care about Liverpool Football Club and our house and what we're doing. And that's why it pisses me off. And that's so perfectly put. I wish it said who it is that had tweeted that, because I'd definitely go and give them a follow if I'm not already.
I think it might have been Andy Grant, actually.
Well, there you go. I do follow him. I've missed that, like, so. But that's kind of it, isn't it? And
there are no McDonald's fans this is the thing, you know what I mean? And this is the problem, is that it lingers around a little bit more because, of course, football is this massive bubble. I'm seeing Arsenal Fan TV's DT doing this big video on Liverpool being a disgrace and all this kind of stuff. Like, and I mean, look, ultimately, he's a very clever man in terms of how do you hit upon a zenith of things to get views and stuff. But, and he might, that might well be his proper opinion. My slight concern with all of this, because I think that I agree with that, you know, I think, or at least I agree with the sentiment of that. I think that's absolutely, I think that's nailed what our, why we're upset about it. It doesn't necessarily make it explain whether it's right or wrong or not. One thing I think is quite interesting is there's a lot of moral aggrandizing going on social media about this, because football's missing its banter culture. There's going to be other football clubs that do this. Mm. And I think it's interesting. There's probably a lot of people who were very keen to bash a lot of the other clubs that have done this, who are now all of a sudden having gone, oh my God. You know, like, it's like they're standing in front of Anfield screaming, going, oh, what are you doing? You're doing the wrong thing. Have some more social values. And then they turn around and Liverpool are like shoveling in truckloads of government cash into the side. It doesn't make us look very good. But I think that, you know, I think you're right. I think we're right. We're right, and we're fine to be upset with Liverpool's behaviour in this. I can look at it from both perspectives, if I'm honest. I don't personally. I've said this a few times during the whole coronavirus thing about football, and I've had this hit. I've had the corona stuff hit home a lot. You know, we've had issues in our family and beyond, which I've not really talked to people about, but So the realities of it are far more pressing and far more important than this. But football is really important to me. Liverpool are really important to me. And this is going to make me sound probably a little bit horrible or what have you. But I wonder whether there's just a degree to which someone's had to make the hard call at the business end of Liverpool Football Club that... Will we be thankful for this decision in a year's time? You know, if football doesn't come back for a year... And Liverpool are still able to financially compete with Manchester City in a year's time because they've taken really hardline measures and they've taken every advantage to them. I think there's a lot of people who are concerned with this right now, who are really upset about it, who will forget all of that very quickly if Liverpool take to the pitch. And I think the issue we've kind of got right now is that it's a bit of a storm in a teacup because, and again, people are fully entitled to be wound up. I'm wound up, you're wound up. Let's make that perfectly clear about this. I don't agree with this from a moral standpoint at all. But also, again, I hate to say it, but it's not important. There's bigger, more important things. You've got the Matt Hancock coming out and saying now's not the time to talk about pay rises for doctors and nurses. And people are talking about Liverpool taking a government-funded scheme that is there for all UK businesses to take advantage of if they feel they want to.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
That's where my quandary is with it, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I was to take emotion out of it, I'd probably lean more towards the business side of things, that they've probably done what's right for them, but I can't take emotion out of it, so I lean more towards that pisses me off stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm central in this, and you know, I'd love to get someone on who's completely either side. You know what I mean? You know, someone who agrees with Liverpool. I'd love to get someone on who just thinks it's the worst thing in the world, because, you know, just for saying what I've just said, Paul, people are going to sit there and go, you're just doing it to keep your relationship with the club. We don't have a fucking relationship with the club. You get, you know what I mean? And that's not the case. The fact is, I'm the type of person who wants the facts before I make a decision.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Liverpool Football Club won't give us the facts. They never have done, and they never fucking will do. And I find it really difficult to make hard, fast statements when I don't know the intricacies of a situation. And that's in life, in business, and in football. It's all the same.
Well, exactly. And this is the thing as well. Liverpool's, well, let's see, maybe, you know, we're now well into Monday, you know, whether some more of this presents itself over the coming days, I don't know. But you can see, you know, the PR approach to this, it's a PR disaster, but the best thing to do, which is bizarre nowadays, is to say nothing and just wait for the news cycle to move on. And that's annoying because if we feel Liverpool need to be held account to this, and look, let me just make this perfectly clear as well to viewers and what have you. Red Men TV is a channel that me and Chris started 10 years ago as a sketch show, effectively, where we got together, we had a laugh, and we talked about Liverpool, and we've covered some really serious issues over the years because they weren't talked about elsewhere, from ownership protests to, you know, the managers and all everything in between, ticket prices and all that kind of stuff.
The fact that April, this is 10 years, isn't it, April?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is that Spirit of Shankly exist. And I'm going to take a lot of my watch from them because I think they're far better place to judge this. And I know they're seeking answers from the club. And when we know those answers, we'll be able to form a little bit of a hard and fast opinion. But, you know, I think we can, but we'll both agree that we're upset by it because I think my natural reaction is it grates on me, and I'm a gut reaction kind of guy, and it feels intrinsically wrong to me. And I know you're the same, Chris. But obviously, we'll always have the chat and we'll always have the debate. Let's get into a few of the comments because I think it's only fair that we kind of expand this out a little bit. The Great Metropolis says, poor decision, diabolical timing. Diabolical timing for us, Chris, because we had a big conversation about making sure the mental health of our staff was all well. So we'd opted to basically cut all ties this weekend to switch off, and Liverpool released the biggest story, the biggest load of debate that's happened around Liverpool since this happened in a weekend that we had off. It wasn't because we were shitting ourselves. It wasn't because we didn't want to piss off FSG. It's because I didn't want to piss my wife off more than anything else.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. And look, the timing thing is interesting in and of itself, isn't it, for me? Because, you know, had the football club been the 19th team out of the Premier League to come out and furlough the staff, there's not as much fume, is there?
Yeah.
But they're the fifth, and we see ourselves as better than that, and we didn't want them to do it in the first instance. Now, the landscape might have changed in a month's time, and everyone will be going, fucking hell, it's a good job they did that early.
Yeah, well, they got more money. Yeah, no, sorry. But I think, can I just ask from a perspective, and ask the audience this as well, like, because you see the list of the other clubs that have done it, Spurs the biggest other club to do it, and obviously Newcastle are there, who are big in terms of, you know, what they are, but not necessarily on a global stage. And you've got Norwich and Bournemouth. My immediate reaction is like, oh, poor little Norwich and Bournemouth. They deserve it, but Liverpool don't. I think it's, you know what I mean? I wonder whether what does that say about us? Is that, wonder what Norwich fans and Bournemouth fans, they probably agree. I don't know. I'd be interested to know what people's perspectives are on that.
It's bad because, like, even from the simple fact of, can Liverpool compete if they were just a socialist club?
Mm. Yeah,
could they compete at the top end of sports if they were ran like that? You know what I mean? And yet we want them to compete, and we want them to reinvest money in transfers, and we want them to spend every penny that they make on the first team. And yet we also want them to be a socialist club that respects our values.
We've got a split personality, Chris, and I think that runs through the club. And I think that when the fact that Liverpool are being successful on the pitch kind of it smooths the gap between those two halves, because I think they can be very disparate at times. When Liverpool aren't performing, we're naturally more agitated with what's happening. And I think, you know, I wonder whether if we were still watching the football, would we be as concerned by all this? Probably, but who knows? But you're right, that's the big issue. The point is, on this, and we'll get to some more comments in a second, is Liverpool are fighting a battle against Manchester City, who are the richest football club in the world, maybe bar what? PSG, if I'm, you know, splitting hairs between the two of them. You know, so in that regard, if they feel that, maybe that's a thing. Maybe they feel like, you know, can they maintain their position on top? And again, I don't think the few million quid that this is really makes a significant difference to that.
That's the thing, isn't it? Was it worth the £1 million a month for bad PR?
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. Okay, I'll fly through a couple of these. Michael Dunn says, I'm actually ashamed of my club. Callum Maloney asks, can you see us reversing? I think, Chris, if they're going to do it, it'll either happen today, it like probably like, you know, one of the normal embargo things, one of the reasonable embargo times, or it'll happen when and if Liverpool players opt to take a pay cut.
Yeah, and you wonder whether that's part and parcel of this whole dance, isn't it? And whether, you know, the PFA have taken a very hard line approach, haven't they, into players taking a pay cut and all that type of stuff. And I wonder whether this is all part of it. Who knows? I genuinely don't think they will be reversing this decision, although I would like them to.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Super chat coming from Mr. Mitt. Why can't the players cut half their wage, 40k per week? Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. There's a lot of pressure on these lads to do, and I think from us normal people in a normal world, yeah. Because what's the difference? Let's just make them do that. it probably makes the most sense. I think something like that will happen, to be perfectly honest. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the PFA, because I think that's going to be key to the survival of football. Is going to come from the players. Ultimately, we think we've got the most power as fans, but we haven't. The players are the ones who've got all the power in football, because they're the ones who've got the contracts. All the money in football goes to the players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everything else. Funnel.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some offshoots of it that funnel into various other bits and pieces, but it is down to the players ultimately, because there's very little justification. I think, look, footballers, I don't like the whole footballers earn this much money, therefore, because it's just a stick used to beat a load of largely young working class men who've sacrificed pretty much a normal life to push themselves to the physical limits for a very short spell of time with no job, very little to no job prospects at the end of it. I think, you know, in the capitalist world, they are living it up. They're like, you know, you see it in music, you see it in all kinds of stuff. I don't blame players for doing that, but they might be the key to this whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Rod Meta says it seems to be a question of identity, not business. Kerry Mugan, it's greed, and the owners should know better with the values of our club, the money they have made in the last few years, and they can't afford to pay employees their full wages. Ian Baker, from a PR point of view, not a great decision. As a fan, surprised and disappointed. Stuart Wisby, I think it's an awful situation, and companies all over the globe will be doing similar to this. That said, I feel we should hold ourselves to a higher standard and look after the Red families. I would like Klopp, Hendo and co to step in and sort this diabolical situation out. I just wonder whether Stuart means that is that if the playing staff take a cut and then we don't furlough via government funds. I wonder if he means that, because the hardest thing is, I think at the moment Liverpool are doing what they have taken an action to protect the families and protect their staff. The debate is whether they should be financing that out their own pockets or whether the government should be financing it, I guess.
Well, can we just go back to the super chat from Mr. Mitt a second? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know the exact figures, but roughly, like, I know when you get into one of the higher bands, you pay like 50% tax, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say Salah's on 200 grand a week. Right, he's putting 100 grand a week, would it be, into the government?
Yeah.
Roughly. If he drops to 40k a week, he's not putting much in. He's putting a few thousand pounds in.
Yeah.
The government could lose 90,000 pounds there,
mm-hmm.
which is used to prop up businesses all over the country.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong there in the comments, but like, that could be really painful for the government and for every other business that's using the furlough scheme.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting that I'm just trying to work out actually, you know what, the tax calculator, an income tax calculator online doesn't seem to like me going to 10 million pounds a year as a yearly salary. Let's see if we can do it a little bit lower than that. Let's do it to 800 grand a month and see what it comes back with. Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, ultimately, look, let's be honest. Let's reiterate this. I'm trying to work out in complex math and VAT calculations, live streaming on a fucking YouTube channel about football, which started with me and Chris wearing daft wigs and doing stupid voices and pretending to be footy players. You're probably right on that, Chris. The crux of this is that somebody far more intelligent than us goes and works out the math. and then decides what's best. My fear with all this is that the governments are using this as a bit of a smokescreen to cover up for the fact that they're not handling this crisis very well.
Oh, yeah, that's a given.
And typically, again, young working class fellas who've made good, you know, this shouldn't be the biggest issue. We should be focusing on people who are mega corporations who aren't paying tax. Liverpool are paying their taxes. Whether we feel cosmetically that Liverpool should or should not be doing this, Liverpool as a business have as much right to this scheme as anyone. And that's the hard thing, because this is my general opinion on all this, because I see this when it comes to things like the benefits and all these other kind of things, is there are genuine people who have got no other recourse but to take advantage of these things. Mm. But we live in a capitalist world where the rules are set from the top. And it's then down to how much your morals conflict with your ability to take advantage and to play the game. If we've still got if you're able to keep yourself you're meant to look after yourself in this society. That's what you're meant to do. You're not meant to care about other people. And I love that Liverpool do care about other people. And I think Liverpool should be caring more than most clubs, because I think Liverpool at City has that at its core. I hope they do strike a better balance with all this, to be perfectly honest. Let's get through a few comments quickly then before we wrap up. Ben Pryor asks, is it possible for them to change their stance now? I think it is, Ben. I think it is definitely possible, because they have done so in the past. You know, they've gauged reactions to things, and they've reevaluated their stake and their position in these things. So I think it is possible for them. And I think, you know, if the value of PR, Chris, because for them to do it and then switch back, let's look at this from a bit of a cynical perspective. If you wanted to garner some good PR, that would be a good way. That would actually be a bizarrely good way to do it.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it was the plan. certainly wasn't the plan. Again, I'd like them to change the stance. I really would, but then equally, you know, I'm not basing it on anything but a feeling. I'm not basing it on numbers, and I think that's part of the issue, is that none of us know the numbers of this and how much it actually helps them and what that means for the future of the football club and its competitiveness. And I'm not saying it does either, by the way, because it might just fucking not, and it might be some guy who's gone, let's just take advantage. We pay our tax. We're entitled to it. And that, if it's that, it does. I don't like that, because I don't think they need that. At the same time, but I understand why they've done it. It's just, even for talking to you about this, I'm none the wiser.
Yeah,
I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. I just know that I'm annoyed. And yet, if it was just the business, I could understand why the business has made that decision. But it's not just the business. It's a football club, and it's supposed to be part of this community. It's supposed to understand us, and we're supposed to get it, and it's supposed to get us.
This reminds me a little bit, and it's a bit tangential, but there was a geek clothing company that years and years ago that had a mad PR issue where they had this R2-D2 dress, and they said like what you want it to look like and what it actually looks like, and it was a picture of the girl from Big Bang Theory. And it was basically taking the mick out of how she looked, and all their fans kicked off. Like, hang on, you were like an alternative clothing company. You're meant to celebrate people for looking differently, for being from all different kind of backgrounds. And they dug it their heels in and went, oh, just shut up, it's just a joke, and lost loads of customers off the back of it, because they'd set their brand around being like this. Mm. And that's the thing. I think that's the problem. Liverpool can't market themselves as like not to borrow a David Moyesism, but a people's club. And they can't market themselves as this means more. And they can't market themselves as we're not a thing, we're a family. And all of these things that they've used. And to be fair, particularly in the banter culture, where everyone already hates us for that. You know, you look at that Bleacher Report animation, you know, the Champions one where they took the piss out of that video, Liverpool being like up their own arses and what have you. I don't think you can do that and then go and take government money, because I think both of those things, if Liverpool didn't market themselves, no one's kicking off really on a global sense about Newcastle doing this, because Mike Ashley's a twat and everyone expects it from Mike Ashley. But people don't expect it from Liverpool, because we sell ourselves as something else. And it might be, Chris, that was just a bit of bluster and bullshit.
The advertising,
yeah,
I think Liverpool are trying to tap into something that the fans feel. I think Liverpool have done that with their advertising slogan of "This means more," because any football club in England could have put up that slogan, and their fans would have gone, "You're fucking right, it does. Mm-hmm. You're fucking right, it does. This football club does mean more." Liverpool were the one to do it. Yeah. Do you have a problem with their marketing strategy, or have a problem with the business?
That's the thing, isn't it? I think there's the problem with football is the more you peer into football, you realise you're just being sold a dream. You're being sold a false notion. You're being sold that, you know, again, this means more, it matters, it's all important. I think what we're seeing in coronavirus is that it doesn't. It's just a form of entertainment like anything else, and football clubs aren't. We've been raised on the idea that our football club is magic and it's something special, it's something more. I think this probably shows that it isn't. And I don't know whether that's for better or for worse, really. It's a shame that the allure's kind of been shattered once again, to be fair, because I think there's been steps. This is not the first time they've made a massive PR misstep when it comes to the financial side of things. And I think we need to decide probably what it is we want Liverpool to be. Because you're right, Chris, if we want a socialist Liverpool, then I don't think a Liverpool that's going to win the Premier League is ever going to be a socialist Liverpool. You know, AFC Liverpool are there, they're locally run, you know, there's plenty of options to get involved with. You know, City of Liverpool FC probably run like that way, given the people who organise it. I don't know. It's in a time when we're all struggling and we're all looking for hope and we're all looking for heroes. It's disappointing that Liverpool, I think, have chosen to do this at this time, because I think we need something more to believe in. I think a lot of people believe in Liverpool. I think they believe in that, the PR. I think they believe in the bluster. I think they believe in the story that Liverpool have crafted around themselves. I think they believe in the history and all this kind of stuff. And people, you mentioned earlier, people, you know, the words of Bill Shankly and all that kind of stuff. I think I'm just gutted because it's bullshit.
But it's not all bullshit. It's bullshit from the club. But you look at the people that the club have got involved with. You look at the work that Jordan Henderson's done to talk to every single captain of all the other football clubs and try and get a fund put in place for the NHS. You look at Andy Robertson supporting 6 food banks up in Glasgow. You look at £40,000 getting put into Liverpool food banks. The institution itself might be a business. Yeah. And that's disappointing, but at least we've got some good people there as well who are doing good things for the community and their communities and where they've grown up and all that type of stuff. So I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater on this. This hurts like fucking hell what Liverpool have done. But I know that we've got good people there who are still striving to be good people and support those in need. And that is a little crumb of comfort for me in this time.
Yeah, and this is it. And I think ultimately, you know, if and when the football comes back, we might have to reevaluate how we treat this whole thing, to be perfectly honest, because football clubs can be socially responsible to the best of their abilities, but at the end of the day, these are mega institutions that are just, I mean, and mega institutions that, as Paul Tompkins points out on Tompkins Times, that aren't as cash rich as people think they are. They're not as liquid as people think they are. We have to decide whether we want a really good football team or we want a really noble football team ultimately. And I think they've been straddling that reasonably well, but I think without the football to distract us from it all, I think we're seeing that Liverpool is just like any other football club. And there are some that, you know, Everton, for example, if they're not doing it, good on them. Good on them. They're a far better community football club than we are anyway. And if other football clubs aren't doing it, brilliant. Absolutely fair play to them. I'm upset because if everyone was doing it, I think I could probably make my peace with it. But if there's clubs that are deciding not to, right now, it feels wrong. In a year's time, when Liverpool are capable of financially competing, when the gulf in financial, you know, difference between us and those clubs is even more significant, and I'm watching Liverpool trounce everyone on the pitch, will I still have those models? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, listen, thanks very much to everyone who's involved themselves with this. Thanks very much for watching. Thanks very much for leaving your comments. Keep your thoughts coming in on this. Look, I think ultimately, we're all fans in this situation. We're entitled to our beliefs. I'd like some constructive debate. I don't think social media is a very good place for this in general, but people are entitled to opinions one way or the other on this. I think there's people come from a lot of different perspectives. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces to this. And obviously, if and when the story moves on, we'll be here to react to it as well. And please, obviously, we're talking about all this and the financial difficulties that people are facing, all that, and furloughing staff. We don't want to furlough staff. If you don't want us to furlough staff, then go to redmentv.com and sign up. Because obviously, you know, these are very difficult times. We don't have football, and we also unfortunately aren't on the kind of mega wages that the Liverpool players are on that can solve major problems either. So yeah, please do. If you want more content from us, we've got an exclusive interview with Jose Enrique going out later today. There's a whole host of other amazing bits and pieces. I'm speaking to Jimmy Traore later this week as well. They're going to be on the website. Go to the redmentv.com. It's £5 a month. Sign up, support Redmen TV through this time. And other than that, we shall see you very, very soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.